Well, hi everybody, and I have a little bit of time here. It may have to be a shortened program because a webinar is coming up, but let's continue with the eighth program in the beginning of the book, 08A. So DK has been talking about the new C groups and the experiment that they represent. Let's see if there's anything in the segue that can be of importance. Well, they will be important in the emergence of the new civilization. And I guess, you know, that is one of our priorities, to do all we can to bring in the plan with its intention of preparing the way for the new civilization. We've been talking about mental approaches and emotional approaches. Mental approaches so far for the few, and the more emotional, religious approach for the many. But that, of course, will begin to change because Aquarius, after all, is a fifth ray age. And the seventh ray, accompanying that equinoctial cycle of Aquarius, is on a different cycle. It comes through Aquarius via Uranus, yes, but the approximately 2500 year presence of the seventh ray is an accompanying cycle, a cycle accompanying the Age of Aquarius. Now he's going to begin looking at this, he says, from a different angle. Looking at the whole problem from another angle, it might be stated that the effort of the past has been to raise the consciousness of humanity through the pioneering efforts of its foremost sons of God, you know, the image of the sun, each one of us as a S-U-N. The effort of the future will be to bring down into manifestation the consciousness of the soul through the pioneering efforts of certain groups. Well, that is clear. We had individuals leading the way before, and now, very simply, we will have well-trained groups doing the same, bringing down the consciousness of the soul. The soul, we remember, is group conscious. It has, therefore, as you will readily understand, to be a group effort, because the soul is group conscious and not individually conscious. Even that, if we could just grasp that and feel our distribution throughout the groups with which we work. The newer truths of the Aquarian Age can only be grasped as a result of group endeavor. This is a relatively new thing. In the past, a man had a vision and sought to materialize it with the aid of those whom he could impress and influence to think as he did. A man sensed an idea or intuited an idea and then tried to give it form, later calling in the help of those who saw his idea as an ideal. They wanted it to materialize. They aspired to have it materialize. A man had a great ambition, which was, in reality, a dim grasping of a part of God's general plan, and he then became a group leader or a ruler with the assistance of those who succumbed to his power or to his right to guide lead and dominate them. All right, this is as it was in the past. And so progressively, the race has been led from point to point and from stage to stage of unfoldment until today. Many are seeing the vision, many sensing the plan and dreaming dreams which they can work out together. So the whole group idea has been prominent from the beginning of Master DK's writing. And this, I think, is a 1937 writing, I think so. This they can do because they recognize each other, because they are beginning to know themselves and each other as souls, because their understanding is united, and because, and this is of prime importance, the light of the intellect, the light of knowledge, the light of intuition, and the light of understanding. Notice how he does separate intuition from understanding. Understanding becomes a part of intuition, evoked within them. They have intellect, knowledge, intuition, and understanding. Right. It enters not from without, and in that light together they see light, capital L, the greater light. In the light of the mind held steady in the light of the intuition can be accessed. It is a group activity, a group recognition, and the result of group at one moment. So that is the way of the advanced members of the present and increasingly the way of the future. So let's see here. So we do have to, you know, contrast how it was in the past to get a better idea of the changes which are occurring, the changing esoteric methods, the changing methods of training. And I suppose we have to ask ourselves, as teachers of this material and as students of this material, what is our particular attitude? Are we the lonely individual gathering those around us who can be impressed by what we see, or do we find ourselves cognizant of a group with which we are working and entering more the Aquarian mode of impression and distribution, circulation? Okay. All this is, however, so new and relatively so rare that these groups, he's bringing forward the seed groups now, remain as yet in an embryonic stage. We call them the seed groups of the new age. Okay. And until there is better understanding of how the energy of Aquarius transforms the methods of the past, these groups would remain embryonic. There are many such, as I told you, but all as yet so small and so undeveloped that the success of their effort remains for the future to decide. This applies also to the groups which I began to build in 1931, 90 years ago, 89 years ago, from Discipleship in the New Age, volume 1 and 2, both. Okay. So, you know, we ask ourselves, what kind of progress has there been? And I'm sure from the master's perspective, they can see a lot more than we. And I would say that group work as preparation to enter the new age has taken on a considerable acceleration. As I've commented, there was a listing of modern progressive groups working for the uplift of humanity. And there were just so many. The list went on, and then they sped the camera up so that it just seemed to race, and the list never ended. So you got the feeling that really the idea was catching on. I suppose the esoteric groups among these new groups are fewer, and fewer still, devoid of the glamours which inevitably beset, it seems, esoteric groups, at least at present. So to have a really de-glamoured group, free from its own indulgence in illusions, is perhaps still a rare thing. It will be apparent to you, therefore, why it was necessary for the initial or first group to lay the emphasis upon telepathic rapport. Because upon that rapport, understandingly cultivated and developed, the success of these seed groups must depend. It does not mean that their success depends upon the established success of the first group, but upon the comprehension by all groups, all the groups, of the meaning and purpose and techniques of telepathy. It is interesting that some of the foremost workers, the most advanced of the disciples working in connection with the Arcane School and the Lucis Trust, were found placed in this first group. I mean, Alice Bailey was one, Foster Bailey, RSU, Regina Keller, and other people who were closely connected with the founding of Alice Bailey's work in the world. So, you know, some of the more high-powered individuals were launching this under the Tibetans' guidance, were launching this first group. Yes. So success depends upon the comprehension by the groups of the meaning and purpose of telepathy. We need to be mutually reinforcing, and we need to be able to access the higher planes for the what content of the divine plan we are capable of accessing. The founding upon the inner planes of a school of telepathy to which humanity can become sensitive, even if unconsciously so, is part of the task of the first group. Part of the task which the first group, the telepathic communicators, has undertaken. The founding upon the inner planes of a school of telepathy to which humanity can become sensitive. So that's a very interesting piece of information. And one trusts that it has progressed and that when Master DK presents his third installment of Bridging Treatises, it will be a more sensitive discipleship group that can be impressed by those teachings and that humanity itself can be better impressed. Okay, they, this group of telepathic communicators, are the custodians of the group purpose and work on mental levels. The second group, the trained observers, has the objective to see clearly through the use of the intuition, to see clearly through the use of the intuition. They serve on astral levels. And the third group of the magnetic healers has the objective of working with the forces of the physical plane. The other six groups will be mentioned accordingly later. Okay, so let's... the thing that we'll do is, make everything disappear inappropriately. And the second group works on the astral levels. Okay. And the third group upon the physical plane. DK said that to be a member of that group of magnetic healers, there has to be a kind of specific orientation towards the physical plane. Okay, so this is the second group. And, you know, working at the dissipation of glamour is an important aspect of their work. And the third group, working very much with the etheric body, just as the first group works mentally. So you can, you know, judge of your own orientation towards these first three groups. And arising from them, in a way, came all the others, except maybe for the 10th group, which is a synthesis of everything that has gone before. Three members from each of the groups, making 27 in all. You have become somewhat accustomed to the concept of these groups. The novelty is dying out, and you are apt to ask yourselves whether there is, in the last analysis, anything really new in them. I will give you further on three reasons for the fact of there being a step in advance of anything hitherto possible on the physical plane. This may reestablish their importance in your minds and enable you to carry forward your work with fresh ardor. You know, when things become habitual and customary, perhaps our enthusiasm dies down and he wants to give us a new perspective which will awaken again our ardor, our burning aspiration. I have stated, he says, that these groups constitute an experiment and that they are connected paramountly with the work of the New Age as it will express itself through the coming civilization and the future culture. It might be of value here if I pointed out the distinction which exists between a civilization and a culture. Indeed. And, you know, ponder for a moment, what do you think the distinction is. So then, you know, we can compare what we might think of a culture, probably a more interior, seminal point of tension than a civilization, with what Master DK will present to us on this subject. A civilization is an expression of a mass level of consciousness as that consciousness works out in physical plane awareness, physical plane adjustments, relationships, and methods of living. A culture is essentially an expression of the intellectually and vitally mental significances and the state of consciousness of the mentally polarized people of the race, of the intelligentsia, and of those who constitute the link between the inner world of soul life and the outer world of tangible phenomena. In these words, the raison d'etre of the mental plane is concisely stated. Its function in this connection will be increasingly understood during the next few decades. So, mass levels of consciousness are concerned with civilizations and much upon the plane of objectivity, the physical plane. When it comes to a culture, significances, intellectually and vitally mental significances and states of consciousness of the mentally polarized people of the race. Now, mental polarization, if he means exactly that, does not occur until the midway point between the second and third initiations, between the of the intelligentsia, or of those who constitute the link between the inner world of soul life. Maybe they have the mind held steady in the light, and the outer world of tangible phenomena. They are impressed and they are looking in two directions. So the mental origin of culture and maybe soul origin as the soul finds itself in the first position upon the higher mental plane. And in these words, we have the reason for being, the raison d'etre of the mental plane, and it's concisely stated. And it will be understood in the quite mental age of Aquarius what culture really is. Now, sometimes we read about culture wars and people who are not mentally focused at all having a certain culture, let's say, a little bit of a degrading of the term compared to the way Master DK is stating it. the masses are negative to the plane of desire and of feeling. They receive from both, right? And the civilization of any age is largely the exteriorization of that particular level of consciousness. Desire and feeling are externalized in the civilization as Master DK sees it. The intelligentsia are positive, and their positive mental orientation produces the culture of their time or their race or their community. And then we are going to have a kind of a tabulation, which may help to consolidate this idea in our minds. So we have, therefore, the masses who are negative, they're responsive to desire, and they produce civilization. And the intellectuals are positive. They control their desires to a certain extent. They control the objectivity of the etheric physical plane through the power of the mind. They are responsive to mind, and they produce culture. Well, I've been using the green here because we're dealing with something outer and objective. The intellectuals, the planet Mercury, particularly. Okay. So, this is something that has to be borne in mind at this time. In these, you have the two poles which distinguish the race. And right now, there's a battle on between them. As the people responsive to the Piscean civilization because of their training, and we might call it the insufficiency of their experience, find themselves very opposed to the intellectuals whom they consider to be the elite, removed the power structure, and in general, those who are putting them down and somehow making sure in the preservation of the privileges of the elite, that the lesser group, in terms of experience, cannot be fulfilled. This, of course, is the worst view of it. Others aspire to bridge from civilization to culture, from emotions to mind. So in these, you have the two poles which distinguish the race. And it is through the interplay between these two that human activity, progress, and development is generated and carried forward. Well, there are going to be the stresses of the fourth ray in any customary human situation. The battle between civilization and culture, and occasionally, the correct working out of the higher culture within the civilization. I suppose when Plato conceived of the philosopher king, he was conceiving of culture working its way properly into civilization. Of course, the irony here is that the philosopher king must be devoid of lower ego, and the tyrant or leader, ruler, who wanted to test out Plato's ideas, fancied himself to be the philosopher king, and that from quite a lower ego perspective. Okay, well, we have two polls right now. And DK says, there is another grouping which should not be overlooked. The spiritually minded people of the world are negative to the higher spiritual world as it expresses itself through or calls forth the higher type of desire, which we call aspiration. You know, it's a, in a way a bridging group, and in some ways may go beyond that of which the purely intellectual type is capable. When you are both intellectual and spiritual, it is a significant mark of attainment. We have those who are spiritual, we have those who are intellectual, and sometimes there is insufficient blending of the two approaches. So this produces the exponents of the spiritual nature who constitute in the aggregate the Church of Christ or the world religions in the exoteric sense and in any race or time. Positive to this group and giving them the keynote of the culture of their particular age on a higher turn of the spiral are the esotericists and aspirants throughout the world. So maybe we're looking at the religious types. Let's see, how does it go here? And we're looking at those who are not only possessed of faith and correct orientation towards reality, but who know something mentally, scientifically, of the inner planes and of those points of tension which inspire the outer religious faith. So, another group. Not just those who represent outer civilization, not just those who represent culture with its keen intellectuality, but the esotericists who are on a higher turn of the spiral and who particularly are influencing those who are religiously inclined. Okay, so here's the other grouping which should not be overlooked. The spiritually minded people are negative to the higher spiritual world as it expresses itself or calls forth the higher type of desire it evokes from below, the higher type of desire, which we call aspiration. And this produces those exponents who constitute the Church of Christ or the world religions, and basically the esotericists are guiding them. Positive to this group are the esotericists and the aspirants. Sometimes the intellectuals can be influenced by the esotericists, and that's in one way our task for the future, because in the Aquarian Age, science and religion must blend the esoteric science and the more ordinary orientation of religion must blend. And there are a number of masters working on that fusion of the two. So the esotericists and the aspirants, they are responsive to the mind aspect. In this way, the spiritual culture, higher than the ordinary culture, and the resultant civilization comes into being, and to it, the lower becomes responsive. Well, I think we will have an enlightened age, which responds far more to spiritual culture than has been the case. There have been always religious types, and even in the opening of the second petal, there is an orientation towards God transcendent, even if God immanent is not understood. But there will be greater understanding of the science of religion and the factuality of the higher planes will blend with the religious impulse, which will be increased in its aspirational quality and in its mental quality. An infiltration of high mentality of a spiritual type will enter into the life of the so-called religiously inclined individual. You have, therefore, the masses and the intellectuals together negative, in their turn, to the positive impression of the deeper civilization and culture. The coming Aquarian civilization we often hear of, as it is expressed through the religions of the world, if they are of a high quality, and the group of idealistic esoteric seekers after reality. These latter are the glory of every age and the positive germ of the subjective unfolding impulse, which is basically the source of all current phenomenal appearance. So he's listing here even a higher type of civilization than the ordinary objective civilization conditioned by desire and sometimes by culture, but a higher type of culture to which the masses and the intellectuals are negative is emerging. They are negative to the positive impression of the deeper civilization expressed through the religions of the world, in their higher forms of expression, and especially impressed, even if unknown to them, by the groups of idealistic esoteric seekers after reality. So maybe if we were to, list these in some way, it got a little bit involved, but if we were to list them in some way, we would have outer, let me do this correctly, outer civilization, intellectual, intellectual culture, higher outer civilization, often with its mass religious orientation, intellectual culture, higher civilization, and higher religious orientation, and finally, positive esotericism exemplified. Oh, how about spelling, huh? By the aspirants and the disciples, and eventually the initiates. Certainly, when Plato conceived of his philosopher king, such an individual was an initiate, definitely. So this group of religionists, higher, I would say, you know, because in any civilization you have a lower type of religionists, higher. So, yeah. And esoteric aspirants, in their turn, constitute the negative pole to the positive impression of the planetary or occult hierarchy, and consequently, we have. Okay, well, he's going to do it better than I can do it. I didn't see that coming, but okay. Now, pause over what color to put this into. Maybe no color at all, okay? We have negative groups and positive groups, and they affect or interplay with each other, and some are causative and some are responsive, and those that are causative become responsive in turn. The masses are found in the negative groups with their own form of religion, and the intelligentsia is positive to them. And of course, there are those in the initiate rank that are positive to the intelligentsia. The churches and religions and occultists are the negative group. Even occultists are included. The esotericists seems to be a higher category, along with aspirants. So, you know, true, I think this is the problem, that this really belongs over here. I think so. Right. And the esotericists, in their turn, are responsive to the planetary hierarchy. That makes more sense. Now let's see if I can just make something so small that we can manage it. Okay, what have we got here? This is not a valid number. So I want to make this an 8. Okay, so with their form of religion, and let's see if I can get back here. I'm not sure I can. Let's see. Maybe it was never my forte. The churches and religions maybe of a slightly higher kind, sufficient to be responsive to esotericist aspirants and occultists. And we can say, can affect higher religionists. And then these, you know, we have many people who are leaders in the religious field and are quite enlightened beings. Some of them, of course, initiates. The esotericists, which includes here, you know, aspirants and occultists, is responsive to the planetary hierarchy. Okay. Broadly speaking, these groups divide themselves into the extroverted groups and the introverted groups, into objective and subjective lessons, levels of consciousness. You know, the higher religionists may be outward turned or maybe more mystical, but they still have much to learn from the esotericists. Into the objective and subjective levels of consciousness and into, okay, that's not what we want, into the major divisions of the phenomenal world and the world of spiritual realities. So what do we have here? We have further divisions are listed. The problem before the hierarchy at the beginning of the new or Aquarian age was, and it acts as if, has it taken place? Maybe with the coming of Sir Francis Bacon, the bridging period began. He was so Aquarian in nature and stimulated the fifth ray so potently. So it looks like, from a certain perspective, the Aquarian age, at least in its bridging increase of intensity, has begun. The problem before the hierarchy at the beginning of the New Age was, not is, how to fuse and blend these two distinct groups. You know, this is up to the new group of world servers, isn't it? Attitudes or states of consciousness so that from their fusion, a third group could emerge, which would be exterior in its activity and yet consciously alive to the interior values. And, you know, we might say new group of world servers. They should be able to function upon the outer plane of appearances and at the same time be equally awake and active upon the plane of reality and of spiritual living. Yeah. So bridging groups were needed. And although hierarchy will walk with us, with humanity, it will still require the mediatorship, if I can call it that, of the new group of world servers. You know, he said, what I have to say here is the most important thing I have to say at all, namely, that the new group of world servers is emerging and hierarchy and the Christ are returning to objective visibility. Given the volumes of material that he's written, even though he might consider them only the ABCs, still the most important factors have to do with the development of the new group of world servers and the externalization and reappearance. So interesting that the word was used. Well, there's a 500-year overlap period. And it seems that Francis Bacon was a great stimulator of that. And, you know, he was active in the very earlier part of the 17th century, say from, you know, 1600, roughly, after the death of Queen Elizabeth and in relation to the court of James the First, was it? And that's about 400 years ago. And another 100 years until the actual Age of Aquarius begins in 2117, according to that letter that Master D.K. wrote in response to Roberto Assagioli's questions. Anyway, a little more, as I have coming up right away, another webinar. This type of dual functioning is the easiest activity for the members of the hierarchy and constitutes the sine qua non, the that without which, prior to association with that hierarchy. So we have to, the new group of world servers, reaches towards both hierarchy and humanity. It was realized that many people could be trained in the appreciation of this possibility, and slowly, wise use of slow action for the second ray, hierarchy, and slowly developed to the point where theory could pass into practice. Yet these people would not be equipped throughout their nature in such a way that they were ready to become part of the occult hierarchy, even in the stage of accepted disciples. Well, sometimes Master DK talks about the accepted disciple being a member of his ashram. And maybe we can consider standing on the periphery of the occult hierarchy. So, you know, I think we're seeing the need for a bridging group here. And, you know, these seed groups, in a way, are going to be bridging groups. They will have their receptors out for hierarchical impression, but they will be also working with humanity as it exists on the objective plane. Okay. Just a little more. I'm late. Okay. It was the realization of the need for a bridging group, which would be neither entirely negative nor entirely positive, which prompted some of the masters who are connected with the hierarchy to form the new group of world servers. These people belong to neither group, and yet they can function more or less in relation to both. This, as you well know, has been done with quite a measure of success. And this large group now exists and is magnetic enough to draw forth response from the mass of the world aspirants and servers who represent the current civilization and current culture, and at the same time to absorb and thus transmit knowledge, wisdom, force, and light from the planetary hierarchy. So isn't this, in a way, the position in which we find ourselves in this bridging group? Let's just say, you know, in general, that we students of esotericism find our place in this bridging group. The new group of world servers, if we qualify. And of course, this means to some extent, begin to approach, having taken the first initiation, begin to approach the second, however long that may require. It has been deemed possible to form groups within the new group of world servers, whose members can begin to prepare themselves to express both the phenomenal and the impulsive, the negative and the positive, the material and the spiritual, with such a measure of success that in due time there can exist on Earth a replica of the hierarchy, its methods and techniques of work. Such is the purpose of the groups which I have formed, these seed groups in process, you know. He wrote this in 1937, so naturally not all the seed groups were formed, nor did they ever become formed yet, because of the intervention of the second phase of the Great War that we call, the second phase, we call it World War II. So such is the purpose of the groups which I, the Tibetan, have formed, and of other groups throughout the world who, in a different way and form, and employing perchance a different phraseology, yet are motivated and actuated, as are the C groups to which, for which, I made myself responsible. Okay. Well, that's all we can do right now. And so that takes us to, and we will begin the three reasons for their importance next time. We've come almost to page 35 from page 30. So let's see if I can very quickly, there we go, find this, page 30, I'll call it 34/35. And I'll bring it down here. Interesting section of groups affecting groups positively, or being in the negative position, or being a bridging group. So 32/34/35, and that's the end of number 8. And we'll start with number 9. We're getting there, you know, the book will be completed before long, and the beginning will be in place. So, that's not good. That's incorrect. So. Many adjustments. Yeah. All right, friends. So that's going to be our work for right now. And I'll be, you know, converting this and getting into the esoteric science of triangles in just a few minutes, if I'm not too late for this. We'll see you soon, and many blessings, lots of love to you, and just persist, keep going, and deepen your meditation, deepen your study, and make your service more effective. We'll See you soon. Okay. Bye-bye.